will begin our service with the opening hymn printed in the blue order of service, which you will find in your hymnals. Please stand as you are able. Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Winona. My name is Deb Ward. I've been a member for 8 years. I serve on the Sunday Service Committee and on the Board of Directors. If you are new to our Sunday Fellowship, we especially welcome you. We hope you enjoy the service and find yourself challenged and supported for your work in the world. We invite you to stay for coffee and conversation after the service. Fred, are there any introductions or anyone who would like to introduce themselves?
I believe there are. Aaron Richards is joining us today.
Welcome.
And also Donna, come on. Come joining us.
Welcome.
I have her second visit, so she's back for a second time here.
I'm Lauren Layton. I'm one of the members of the Friends group, and Patty asked me to teach the middle schoolers today, so I just want to introduce myself.
Okay, I have two announcements today. The first one is extremely important. Daylight savings time begins next Sunday, March 9th. UU begins 1 hour earlier than your circadian rhythm is used to. And there has been a change to the service presentations, and Jan Taylor is going to send that out in the email that goes to everybody after today's service. But just note that there has been a switch. Two of the services have been switched around, so she will be sending that out. And next Sunday, our program is Death Row, and our presenter is Rich Van Dellen, and the coordinator is John Chernega. And Rich Van Dellen will speak about his experiences as a correspondent with Death Row inmates.
And maybe Lauren can speak a little more about that.
Thank you. Yes, Rich is a friend from Rochester, and he was scheduled to come in January, and a blizzard interrupted his travels, but we thought this would be a good topic for both groups to share and listen to, and I think next week.
And you know a little more about him and his work?
I didn't know how much time I have right now. He was inspired to start corresponding with Death Row inmates after being at a presentation. And he was writing to two of the gentlemen, and one of the inmates' execution was scheduled, and he was requested to be a witness. Down in Texas, the inmates, they get 5 witnesses to their execution. And Rich had built such a relationship with this man. And Rich felt that he needed to be there. And he will talk about that experience, the process, and witnessing. And I'll just let his
opinion. Thank you.
And today our speaker is Fatima Saeed from Project Find, and I'll tell you a little bit more about her later. At this time, we will affirm our community by saying together the chalice reading as printed in the order of service. We have come together today. Now is the time to make this our place. We are Unitarian Universalists.
We like this chalice. It is our symbol. It represents all of the important things which make us who we are and which hold us together. Let and to be fully who we are.
Please stand as you are able while we sing hymn number 95. Place this shell in the water in recognition of our Unitarian Universalist Principle number 1, the inherent worth and dignity of every person. I invite you now to place a shell in the water in celebration of or in concern for a person or an event in your life that we may share in your joy or give you comfort in your sorrow.
As some of you might know, my son Joel had a timing accident in October and has been paralyzed from the waist down ever since. But he called me on Thursday to say that when he's sitting down, he can move his leg from his knee to his ankle. So that is a very good sign.
It is our friend Malik's birthday today, and also, my mom's foot is also on the field, so, yay! Yay!
My three sons and I have sent in our Unitarian Universalist camp applications, Camp Unistar, and don't forget, the date of first choices comes March 8th. So get a form from the back, have your family up there.
Think a lot about the three guys, you know, 19 and 20, on their way to California, and they didn't make it from Northfield. the ultimate tournament. And, you know, we have a lot of folks in 19, 20, this group, don't we? So, touches a lot of us, and so, I've been thinking a lot about them.
We will now take a moment of silence for these joys and concerns, both spoken and unspoken. All of us are born for a reason, but all of us don't discover why. Success in life has nothing to do with what you gain in life or accomplish for yourself. It's what you do for others. We affirm our fellowship and its service to the larger world through our generous gifts as we pass the offertory baskets. If you are giving a portion of your pledge, please put the cash in an envelope and put your name on it and note that on the outside that it's for your pledge. Will the children please come forward for today's story? And when you come up, I want you to put the blanket down on the floor, but I don't want you to sit on it yet because I want to show you where the speaker is from who is here today. Okay. Who can show on this where we live? Okay, now move over here. Fatima. I think he's sitting on it. Can you stand up a second? Thanks, honey.
Okay, well, let's go here. It still says Yugoslavia, that used to be before, but now there is 6 small countries. But this is my country. This is where I come from. It's 8 hours flight. Yeah.
Wow, I'm going to Disney in April, and that's a
full
time.
Yes, I'm sure.
Okay. All right, let's do the story. I didn't realize that would cause so much curiosity. When the story is over, the children will leave for religious education. We will stand and sing to the children, "Go now in peace," as printed in the order of service. We will sing it one time together and once as a round with the people on this side starting the round. So today our story, I bet you can't guess what the story is about.
A dog.
Excellent. Go, dog, go.
I knew it.
Do any of you have a dog?
We have 2.
Wow.
We have 4.
Wow.
We have a cat. We have Buster.
Big dog, little dog. Big dogs and little dogs, black and white dogs. Hello, hello. Do you like my hat? I do not. Goodbye, goodbye. One little dog going in, three big dogs going out. A red dog on a blue tree. A blue dog on a red tree. A green dog on a yellow tree. Some big dogs and some little dogs going around in cars. A dog out of a car. Uh-oh. What happened? His car broke down. Two big dogs going up, one little dog going down. The green dog is up, the yellow dog is down. The blue dog is in, the red dog is out. One dog up on a house, three dogs down in the water. A green dog over a tree, a yellow dog under a tree. Two dogs in a house, on a boat, in the water. A dog over the water, a dog under the water. Hello again. Hello. Do you like my hat? I do not like it. Goodbye again. Goodbye. The dogs are all going around and around and around. Go around again. My pages are sticking together.
Hey, that's the one that goes on.
The sun is up. The sun is yellow. The yellow sun is over the house. It is hot out here in the sun. Do you think we're going to be saying that in a couple of months?
No, but we'll be saying that when we're in Florida.
It is not hot here under the house. Three dogs at a party on a boat at night. Dogs at work. Work, dogs, work. Dogs at play. Play, dogs, play. Hello again. Hello. Do you like my hat? I do not like that hat. Goodbye again. Goodbye. Dogs and cars again, going away fast. Stop, dogs, stop. The light is red now. Go, dogs, go. The light is green now. Two dogs at play up on top. Go down, dogs. Do not play up there. Go down. Now it is night. Night is not a time for play. It is time for sleep. The dogs go to sleep. They will sleep all night. Now it is day. The sun is up. Now is the time for all dogs to get up. Get up. It is day. Time to get going. Go, dogs, go. There they go. Look at those dogs go. Why are they going fast in those cars? What are they going to do? Where are those dogs going? Look where they are going. They are all going to that big tree over there. Up the tree, up the tree. Up they go to the top of the tree. Why? Will they work there? Will they play there? What is up there on top of that tree?
A party.
A what?
A party.
A party?
A party? Have you read this book before? Oh, a dog party, a big dog party. Big dogs, little dogs, red dogs, blue dogs, yellow dogs, green dogs. Black dogs and white dogs are all at a dog party. What a dog party. Hello again. And now do you like my hat? I do. What a hat. I like it. I like that party hat. Goodbye. Goodbye. Well, I am so happy that my friend Fatima is here today. And the first thing I'm going to do is read you the description of her that is on the White House webpage. Yes, I said White House webpage. Last year, Fatima was named as a champion of change, and she went to the White House, and this is what they have about her on their webpage. Fatima Saeed serves as executive director for Project Fine, a nonprofit organization that is focused on integrating newcomers through education. In her role, she provides direction for the organization and works to build cross-sector partnerships that benefit both immigrants and refugees and the receiving community. Working with newcomers is Fatima's passion, stemming from her personal experience as a refugee from Bosnia and
Herzegovina.
That place. Fatima is a strong advocate for developing inclusive communities and has been recognized with several local and statewide awards for her dedication to helping our newest neighbors. And I met Fatima about 2 years ago, and interestingly enough, we became fast friends. She is the definition of being passionate, as far as I'm concerned, and she is so much fun. I am on the development committee for Project Fine, and we have a great time. And I'm going to let Fatima tell us a little bit her own personal story and her passion for working with immigrants and refugees.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Then I don't need to stand here. I can't sit still. I have to talk and walk.
Good.
Well, thank you for very kind words. I really enjoy working with Deb and getting to know her. But let's go start with Dobro jutro.
Dobro jutro.
Very good. Let's go to one more time. Dobro jutro.
Dobro jutro.
Thank you very much. You just said good morning in my first language. As you can tell from my beautiful accent, I am a newcomer. I have been here for 20 years, but I still cannot lose my accent. I'm trying very hard to speak like Minnesota lady, but it doesn't work that way. Before I start sharing a little bit about myself and my professional life, I want you to know, if you don't understand something, I'm aware that I have a very heavy accent. Please stop and ask me. I will dance. I will do whatever it takes to send my message through, because I do want you to understand a little bit about me, a people with tough experience, and a little bit about what we do in our community. Being here is truly an amazing experience for me. Where I came from, I was born, raised, and grew up in a social communist country. We all look same. We are born and die in one street. No diversity, no different experience, no anything like this. Social communist country, as you know, have a strong communism that you cannot be who you want to be, that you have to be who they want you to be. And being able to exercise this freedom to belong to whatever religion, church, or group of people you want to be is amazing for me. It's something that I cannot stress out how blessed I am to be part of this country and this constitution that I love dearly and respect highly.
I know when we come to talk about our system and everything that people have different opinion, but for someone who came from my country, where if I say to the president's wife that she have a blue eyes, I will end up in jail, this is heaven. I truly appreciate our constitution and enjoy, and I'm happy and grateful to be part of all this. Now, a refugee. I assume we all know what refugee means. 20 years ago, my husband and I came in this country with two children, two bags, and hope for better life. We came as a refugee. Because of war in 1919, and some of you are so young that I even don't know if you remember that war. War. Fear. Death. Is the worst that human being can experience. It sometimes happens without you being involved or wanting that. You just find yourself in that situation and have to make the best. I know that we have a very short time about for me today, and I just want to let you know why I came here, and then I will talk about our community. Before war started in my country, I had a good life like many of you here. My husband was a doctor, pediatric surgeon. I was a teacher. And, you know, doctors and teachers have pretty good life everywhere. We were happy, young, excited, looking to build our career, reputation, and all this. And then war happened overnight. Because we happened to be a group of people that did not want to fight. Serbian military didn't want us there. But my husband happened not to be even Bosnian or ex-Yugoslavian. He came long, long time ago from Jordan, Middle East, for a medical school in my country, finished the school, fell in love, built a family, and we were happy. He didn't want to leave, and he says, Fatima, I'm a doctor, you are a teacher, this will stop, we will go about our lives. We spent 2 years in war because he won't leave. During these 2 years, we experienced fear, he experienced torture. We didn't know what bringing next hour, how about next day, but he won't leave. When they realized, when they pushed him from the surgery room to the emergency room, hoping that he will leave and they take away from him some his duties, he says, no, I'm okay. Didn't want to leave. 2 years after in the war, they came to our door. They gave us 24 hours to leave. Can you imagine that somebody have that much power to come in your house and give you 24 hours to live? If you don't, you have options. My husband will go in concentration camp. Myself and my two children will be out. At that time, we have 14-month-old baby and 15-year-old girl. What would you choose? He says, we will be there tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. They provided buses for ethnic cleaning. They provided everything for us to take us out. And they provided papers for us to sign that everything we have and own now belongs to them. The family that moved in my house, they moved before I even was gone. During that night preparing for next day leaving, they told us that there is 11 buses. They told us that we are in bus number 3 because I had a baby and I had a little pillow that was made by my sister for my baby. I asked the lady if I can take that pillow because they told us that we cannot take nothing from the house. And she says no. A woman, a mother, she says no. I couldn't understand. On the way to Croatia from my hometown in Bosnia and Herzegovina. I kept thinking about that and whispered to my husband why. And he says, just relax, they probably thought that we had money and that we may be hide that in, or something else in that pillow. Because, you know, we lived in the town where my husband was well known. And like in any other wars, they start first with well-educated or wealthy people. They know who you are, they know usually what you have, and especially in socialism and in socialist communist country like ours was. But we didn't have money. We didn't have nothing in that field because war, before war started in our country, a couple of years before war started, government came out and said, everything that you have in the bank account or in the bank box deposits belongs to government because we're having a tough time economically and politically. And whatever you have belongs to government. Can you imagine all your many, many people lost everything that they worked for? We never were able to have weight so much because of the system. But people had money, had some things. Everything you had belongs to them. Like for everyone else, for us as well. Which means we had no money. We had some gold that we couldn't take because, you know, like Middle Eastern families, when your son gets married, families send gold. We had nothing. We had friends. We had people that were feeding us for those last 2 years. Because if you don't participate in the military, you even cannot have a card that it says, my husband, my brother, or someone is in military, I can go and buy food. But with people, we survived for 2 years. On the way to Croatia, it is a time when I became a refugee. Before that time, I did not know what refugee means. I never knew that there are people that will help people like in my situation. We were on the way to Croatia, and distance between my hometown and Croatia is 2.5 hours by the car or bus. For us, it was 24 hours. Why? First of all, we had 11 buses full of people. Second, we had military in the buses. And third, we had all those sick people that when you have a conflict like this, that they get a power in that. They use that to be violent, to take from you whatever they can. Those groups were stopping our buses. First time when they stop our buses, they will cut in every bus and ask for money. The driver and the person in charge of us in the bus advise us to give whatever we have, but then they will let us go further. People did. Whatever they had, they give, they put in the basket and give to them. They let us go. Second time when they stopped us, women started giving whatever they had on them. Third time, people had nothing to give. What happened? They started taking people from the bus. I had a very young, 15 years old girl next to me, then myself holding baby, then my husband. What they do? They take young girls, young women, sometimes men. Some people come back. Some people didn't. Can you imagine mother's fear? I put the baby hat on my daughter, and she was a very little girl, and pushed her all the way to the window to look smaller, to look not attractive, not to get attention from them. She went by first time. Next time, my husband was one that was taken out. The woman in the bus that was in the charge, that was like a follow-up person with the driver and the military, was a woman that used to work for me before war started. When they took him out, she looked me in the eyes, didn't say nothing. She went out. I never knew what was happening outside. I just knew that some people didn't come from the previous stop. I was so worried because he was from Middle East. You can see that. And she knows me and my family. And he was an enemy too. When he came back, she came right after him, looked at me in the eyes and said, remember who saved your husband. I thank her. Even that she's the one that put my name and my family on the list to leave. I was happy that she saved me. Then she told me, better tell me where is your gold from Jordan. And I told her, everything is in the bank. Would you sign for me that I can take that? Sure, I will sign. Because nothing worth more than your life and your family. She let us go. We arrived to Croatia, and then now we are a refugee. When you are a refugee, you are just a number. But you know what? Pretty soon I realize I'm a lucky number, because I'm alive. 200,000 people died in Bosnian War for nothing. For absolutely nothing. Now when you look back, for nothing. We were one strong country as Yugoslavia. And then when President Tito died and all this happened, now we have six different little countries and huge disaster. But no happiness, no economic prosperity, nothing. Nobody benefits. And so many families lose family members. During my time as a refugee in Croatia, we were put in the military building. And Croatia is another country that had a war before us. They don't have enough and much of themselves. But they were supported by international Red Cross, UN, and others, and they gave us refuge there. We were in the building that used to be a military building, and you know those beds that goes in line, 3-4 beds, 44 beds in one room. On the windows, we didn't have glass because they had a war before us. And in this building were people from concentration camp. As you know, during the Bosnian War, we had a really, really awful concentration camp that nobody couldn't believe that in 21st century we're having a concentration camp in middle of Europe. And people were desperate, depressed, sick, angry, because those are prisoners that were free by international troops, and then now they're waiting to go in third country. One of those prisoners in concentration camp, first one was my youngest brother, who was just 19 years old at that time. And because he was in concentration camp, my family was lucky to be able to stay there. You know, when you have a situation like that, you absolutely cannot believe how some terrible things for my brother now means freedom for us. But you take that because it's a survival in us that you have to survive. We stayed with my brother in that that refugee camp for several months. My youngest brother, who was, as I said, just 19 years old, he told me he wants to go far away, that he never see again Serbian person. And because I was the oldest sister, 16 years older than him, I told him, you know, you just say that now. War will stop, we will go home. He says, no, I signed for United States of America. For me, being in Croatia, United States of America is so far away. And I said, you don't want to do that. And then again, growing up and being educated in socialist, communist country, everything I knew about United States of America was scary. You know, I was thinking, oh, well, you're going to United States of America. We don't have money. We don't have friends. He did speak English, but I didn't. I don't speak English. Where would we be? What would we do? He says, I'm going. Because he spoke English, they hired him to be an interpreter for UN, and he started the process, and he came in the United States on June 11, 1993. He told my husband, who knew about Mayo Clinic, told him behind my back, if you can choose, you know, because you're working with them, pick Rochester, Minnesota. He has no clue where is Rochester, Minnesota. When he was working with those people, and one of them asked him, well, and his name is Elvis, I mean, and there is a story behind that, a teenager sister who loved the music of Elvis Presley. But anyhow, he was asked, if you can pick, where would you go, what state? And he said, well, I will go to Rochester, Minnesota. And he says, everybody laughed because, you know, nobody asked for Rochester, Minnesota. They asked him, didn't you hear about those big state, California, you know, big cities? And he says, yeah, but my brother-in-law says Rochester, Minnesota. And they told him, nobody asked to go in Rochester, Minnesota, your wish is granted. And he came to Rochester, Minnesota. I, at that time, didn't know nothing about this. Then he sent us a papers immediately to come right after him. Papers came in 2 weeks. Because I'm his sister, paper came in my name. What did I do with papers? I hide the papers. I put them in the pillowcase in our refugee camp. because I truly believe that war will stop and we will go home. We had a good life. I don't want to start over somewhere where I don't have nothing. Well, my husband and my daughter keep asking, what's going on? Why those papers should be here? And other families getting papers, but we don't. And then there was a call from a New York refugee settlement in our camp looking for my family. I needed to come clean. My husband and my daughter didn't speak with me for 3 weeks because I kind of, you know, put their life on hold as well as mine. But then I said, okay, we are going to United States of America. We went to United States Embassy to see what we can do with our education because we have to work. In my country, no matter you are poor or rich or you have or you don't have, you have to work for what you have. And I'm like, what can I do? I believe at that time that I cannot do hard jobs. I had a pretty sheltered and good life before war. And I'm like, no, we have nothing. What do I do? Well, we learned that my husband cannot practice medicine, of course, before he takes board exam. How can I be a businesswoman or a teacher when I even don't speak language? But my husband told me, Fatima, if somebody has to wash the dishes in the restaurant and feed the family, I will do. Nobody can take away my knowledge and my education and my experience. We're going to make it. And here we are, December 9, 1993, we arrived to Rochester, Minnesota. You know, that is a feeling that I never, ever can truly describe. I don't have vocabulary to express my gratitude and appreciation for people to come out on that very, very cold night to greet me. We come good and bad. But they wanted to give me an opportunity and chance and came out. And there was a lot of people. I knew that my brother was going to be there. But I asked him, you know, who are all those people with baskets of fruit, with flowers, with signs in my language? And he says, those are the people from a church that decided to sponsor your family and help and support you. Can you imagine my refugee coming from refugee camp who forgot what civilization is for this 10 months, now being greeted like this? From that moment until now, nobody, there is no better or bigger advocate for our society and for our people. When I realized that actually everything I knew about the United States was a lie, I was so happy that I arrived there. From that day until now, every person I met somehow touched my life, helped me and supported me or gave me information or educated me or did something for me. And then how can I not to give back? And actually, I learned so much during my refugee experience about myself, about people, and even all those tough experiences that I had. Now I appreciate and look completely different at it because I survived just because people believed in me and invested in me. We build a great life. Of course, you have to roll your sleeves and do all this. But if you don't have that support from people, if you don't have information, if you don't have resources, if you don't have human kindness, it's extremely hard. And when you are new, even that I came from Europe, that our culture is pretty similar, even that I came with high education and life experience, I needed information, resources, and support. When I realized that those people are just like me, that they feed the family, work, clean, cook, take care of their children, have desire and hopes for their kids, I was like, wow, I was born for Minnesota, I just didn't know. And that is pure truth, because I truly appreciate everything. I started working, became on December 9, 1993. My daughter started college on January 17, 1994. My husband started working in May in February 1994. I started working in Child Care Resource and Referral Head Start Program in 1994 in March. I didn't speak almost any language and they believed in me and gave me a chance. How can you not do that now for other people? I mean, what kind of human being you can be not to return the kindness and give even more? One important lesson that I learned is pray to always give, never to need. It's extremely hard to take help even when you have to. Because we all have our pride, our dignity. And you know, you want to earn your peace. You don't want to just be given. There is not many people that really enjoy having a hand like this. That's why my work, Project Find, is truly so important to me, because I know how people feel when they need help. I have been there, and I try to do that with the most possible kindness, generosity, dignity, because all that we need, and you know, even if you, each of you, if you look back on your life, someone somewhere, somehow, touch your life and make you and build you in who you are today. And that's why it's so important to take the time to think about our life and share stories. Because if you never had opportunity to hear my life story, it's so easy to judge me, right? Excuse me. It's so easy to say, oh my God, would she ever learn how to speak English? Would she ever lose that accent? But you know, not everybody really can. I learned because I was put in situation, and I'm so crazy that I will keep going even if I know that my pronunciation is not perfect, that my grammar is not there. I keep talking because if people want, they will understand me. We will find a way to speak. Because there is a universal language, right? Nonverbal communication that we're sending signals to each other. We can read that all. And that is the most important language that we can share with people. Let me just tell you that Project Find works with people like myself. What we do, we provide resources and information for them. We connect them with existing services. And that we have a wonderful group of people in our community. And by 2010 census, only increase in our community was among diverse people. We are coming here because jobs are here. People go where jobs are at. And we all have same desire, really, to give the best we can to our children and build a safe place for us. All of you, if you can, you can do things, you know, even if you give me a smile, that's what I mean. If you give a kind word, that's even more. Please be kind to us. Again, we come in good and bad, but most of people are sincere and really want to build a better life. I'm sorry, I can talk all day about it. My life, my passion, but I will stop now because she told me that I have to stop when she gets up. Thank you so much for your interest. Thank you. And if you want to learn more, if you want to get involved, if you want to hear someone else's story, if you want to share your story, actually, I'm sorry, that 2014 year is all about stories in Project Find. We want to collect everybody's stories. We want to share those stories and really build inclusiveness through power of story. Your story, my story, his story. We all have stories. And what is more important than sharing those stories and really feeling for each other and doing better and building stronger community? Now I'm gonna.
Does anybody have any questions? Yes.
What immigrant groups? What are the numbers of immigrant groups? Which groups are coming to Winona mostly now?
The largest two groups in Winona County are Hmong and Mexican. In Winona County, Mexican. In Winona Town, Hmong. But we have everybody else. We have Bosnian, Chinese, Vietnamese, Russian, you name it. Actually, there is 42 languages spoken in Winona County. Can you believe that in a small Winona County, we have 42 different languages spoken? Yes?
Fatima, if you had one wish, but what would you change, or what could we do differently locally to help immigrants and newcomers, if we could change or improve one thing?
The most important thing that you really can give to refugees and immigrants is human kindness, smile, and that nonverbal, you know, appreciation that you are okay that they are here. That's the key. But if you really want to get involved, you know, there is so many ways to get involved. What we really need is people that are willing to teach English to the families that cannot learn easily, like Hmong families, especially elderly. It's not easy, but nobody chose not to speak English. It's some people just can't. Then there is a lot of, you know, we have tutoring and mentoring. Now we have a different issues. We have young people that are born here, that are American children, but growing up in two cultures, one at home, one at school, they feel like outsiders of both cultures. They can't find themselves. They badly want to fit in American culture, but because they look Asian, it's harder. But, you know, they also cannot fit and appreciate their own culture. That's why we do mentoring and supporting those groups and just get involved. You know, when we build integration, it is a two-way street. Sometimes we think that, you know, just saying and seeing someone in grocery store and saying hi is, well, I'm welcoming. But we have to do a little bit more. We have to interact and get to know each other. And, you know, when you ask people, do you have anybody from any other country as a friend? Or do you ever go to lunch or share? Not many people. And I know that it's hard to build that connection. But believe me, all of them want to have a new American. They really want to get and understand the culture. They just don't know how. And that's what we're trying to do with some of our art programs. We're inviting the Syrian community to come and do crochet with us, to do among cloth story, to do things that we kind of can talk and give opportunity for people to develop relationships. It is so important because we are all just human beings. Thank you for asking, and you are one that is so inclusive. Thank you for being so inclusive.
Is there a place where you meet with people in Winona, or is it all in Rochester?
No, there is a place to meet them here in Winona. Just get on Project 5 website, let me know that you are willing. We have events every week for something, or art, or education, or sports. We're doing a lot. We work almost every evening because we work around the clock. Our refugee and immigrants work during the day, then we do classes at night. Come join us, have fun. You all will enjoy. We really are a great, wonderful, fun group to be around. We dance, we do everything together.
Deb, are there brochures up there, or for folks to get more information? Or?
She didn't tell me to bring three brochures. Oh, no. I will send with her next week, she can share.
Yeah, I will do that.
You could please check us on website. We have a beautiful website. Like us on the Facebook as well.
And where is the office?
Office is located in the county building in downtown on the 3rd Street, 202 3rd Street. You know where it used to be a driving license? That's exactly where we are. We actually have a wonderful relation with county, and we are so grateful for their help and support because, you know, that's the central place where our people come in for resources. And then it's good to be there. We save money for county, and we save time for us.
Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you again for your interest. And I really have been enjoying this group. It's amazing, guys, what you believe in. And it's just like, wow.
Please stand while we sing hymn number 195.
159.
I'm sorry, 159.
Thank you.
Please be seated for music, followed by a brief period for silent meditation. I'd like to close the service by reading a portion of the poem When Death Comes by Mary Oliver. And therefore I look upon everything as a brotherhood and a sisterhood, and I look upon time as no more than an idea, and I consider eternity as another possibility. And I think of each life as a flower, as common as a field daisy, and as singular. And each name, a comfortable music in the mouth, tending, as all music does, towards silence, and each body, a lion of courage and something precious to the earth. Go in peace.